Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome to Harvest Worship Center, a study in the Word. Today we are still in our current series, an in-depth study on love, and this is part 32. And I don't know how many there will be. Today's message is building strength to walk in love. Let's get right started with prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather together to serve you this morning, to be in your presence, to hear the voice of your Spirit. We ask you, Father, for ears to hear and the sensitive heart to have revelation, knowledge of your word, that seed of the word will be planted deep in our hearts, and that revelation will come as we walk through our future life, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we can see ourselves through your eyes and see your great love for us and through us. We thank you for this message today. We thank you that you prepared it from your heart, and we receive it just like a meal for our spirit, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, we're going to talk about building strength to walk in love. You know, a lot of times we talk about love, and we get all these things of what love is, and we go through what the Bible says love is, but so how do I get there? How do I get from here where I am to there? I know I can't walk in that because I've never been successful at it. I've tried. Most of them say I tried, or they'll try it to do. They'll try to do it in their natural strength, and you can't do it in your natural strength. In order to build our strength to walk in love, we do it in our inner man, not in our outer man. Our strength to walk in love, and actually for our entire life, flows from our inner man. We are a spirit. That's who we are. We have a soul. That's our mind, emotions, and will. And we live in a body. We're a tripart being. Our real, who we really are, is a spirit. That's the part that exists forever. When it says we're made in the image of God, that's the image of God we're made in. Now, I would think God looks something similar to I do when you see him. I don't know. But we are a spirit, and he is a spirit. And that's why Jesus said those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth, because he is a spirit. And that's our real connection, our real communion with God is by the Spirit. Our body will cease to exist, and our soul, that's our connection point between our natural existence and our spiritual existence. It's our mind, emotions, and will. It's our choice place. But they will cease to exist. They will stay here when we die. Our spirit will not. It never ceases. It cannot die. You will exist for eternity.
Amen.
Period. And eternity has a beginning in God, but it has no end. Eternity is without end. That's what hell is. It's without end. It had a beginning, but it has no end. A spirit will always exist in one place or another. And the only place we can choose where we're going to exist for eternity is in this life. Once we pass from this life, we can no longer make that decision. That's why the cross had to happen in this life. That's why Jesus had to become a man, totally man, totally God, but totally man. He laid everything aside from his Godhead to be man. He became man. The Word became flesh. That's why he had to do that. Because in order for man to move to eternity with God, there had to be a way. Because man separated. There had to be another way made. And there was no one that existed at that time before Jesus that could become that sacrifice. That could become the door.
Amen.
There was no way for man to get born again. So, in order to be in heaven with God and to live in eternity in that place, we have to be born again. We have to be recreated.
Amen.
Originally, God breathed his spirit into Adam, and Adam became a living being. That's what it says. He breathed and Adam became a living being at creation. He put himself in there. Well, when man separated, he separated from that. So now that has to happen again. So when we get born again, he breathes his spirit back in us again.
Hallelujah.
So the Holy Spirit comes back. Yes. And now he's part of us. He lives in everyone that's born again, whether we realize it or not. That is our ticket, so to speak, to our eternity with God.
Yes.
once the Holy Spirit comes in, we're again an eternal spirit with God. Without that, we're still an eternal spirit, but we're without God, so we can't go to heaven. We can't make it. There's no way there. We have to go to hell. One place or the other. If we're not born again, we wind up in hell. It's just that simple. And it's not God's fault. He's not making us go to hell. We do it ourselves. We do it by not choosing God, by not choosing Jesus as the Lord and Savior. And everyone has that opportunity. But that's why our inner strength, that's why we're strengthened from our inner man. You know, everything that God actually does for us comes from the inside. Doesn't come from the outside. Because who lives in us? God himself.
Amen.
Our healing comes from the inside. The renewing of our mind comes from the inside. It comes from the spirit man inside. That's why he placed his spirit there. Revelation knowledge comes from the inside. It moves from our spirit man to our carnal, natural man. We can build our strength in our bodies. We can strengthen our minds in the natural. Anybody can do that. We can just be a bookworm or go to school 24/7 or whatever and have a brilliant mind. We can build our body to where all we are, our hair has muscles. You know, we can do that. But we can still be very, very weak in our real man, our spirit man. We have to build our spirit man separately. We cannot build our spirit man in the natural. We make our decisions there. But it's what we do in the natural, spiritually, that builds our inner man. And our real strength comes from the inner man. So our real strength flows from our inner man or our spirit man. In order to walk in love, we must strengthen our inner man, our spirit man. We must be rooted in love. This is something that only I can choose to do. I can tell it. I can tell you about it. Somebody can tell me. But I have to make the decisions. I have to make the moment-by-moment now decision as I walk through my life to walk the love walk, to do the loving thing according to God, what God says love is. It's not a feeling or emotion. And most of us tag feelings and emotions to love. There are feelings and emotions that flow from it. But love itself is not a feeling or emotion. It's God himself. But it's who we are also. We were created by love, who is God. God is love. We were created by love. We were created for love, to love.
Amen.
And that's when we get born again, it's the same thing. We're again recreated by love, to love, or for love, to love. That's who we really are. That's our purpose in life. It's always been our purpose. From creation itself, it's always been the purpose of man is to love. That's who we are. That's why it's why John says in 1 John 4:17, he says, as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. So how is God? God is love. So what are we then? We're love. We're created for that purpose. If you want to know why you exist, that's why you exist. Okay? So in order to build our ability to walk in love, God's kind of love, we have to build our inner man. We have to strengthen our inner man. And that has nothing to do with the strength of our body.
Right.
Other than making decisions. we can be a super spiritual man inside and be laying in a hospital bed in the natural, unable to talk. But we can be very strong in the spirit man. And that's where our real life is. We're going to start in our scriptures today at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. And unless I tell you otherwise, as always, we are using the Amplified Classic Version. The King James is similar. It just doesn't have the New King James is similar. It just doesn't have the amplifications. But if you take the amplifications out, you basically got a New King James Bible. And I use it because it brings the fullness of that scripture out. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ. So, who's he talking to? He's talking to those who have received Christ, who have been born again. That's Amen. Who we're talking to. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk regulate your lives and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. Now that's a mouthful. Well, let's go back and look at it. As you have therefore received Christ, even the Lord Jesus, so, or you have received Jesus, so now walk in it. Walk in what you've received. So walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves. What's that mean? It means that I'm born again now. Now I have the right, and I have to make a decision to walk that way.
Amen.
So many of us in our lives, we get born again, and that's the last time we go to church. Mm-hmm. I mean, we really got born again. We were serious at the moment. We didn't just do something tan. We wanted Jesus. But nobody was there for me to bring me into church. Nobody taught me. I just went right back to the life I always led. Back to the bars, back to all of that stuff that I did before. I never changed anything. So what happens to my spirit man? It never grows. It's an emaciated baby, and it cannot lead or control or guide me. So I'm right back where I was, carnally minded. I'm mad when they get mad. I'm sad when they get sad. I'm glad when they get glad. The world controls and the situations control what goes on in my life. And I'm basically miserable. I can't see any difference in my life because I never changed anything. I didn't feed my spirit man that's alive now. And that's so sad. They're genuinely born again. They just don't do anything. They don't even know they have to do something. They have always lived this life. What's wrong with it? Well, because you are not in the Word, you don't know that you're carnally minded, which the Bible says in Romans 8 is death. Mm-hmm. There's no life there. You're going to be miserable in your life because now you're trying to live in both worlds, and that's not who you are anymore.
Right.
The things that used to bring you joy, you thought, but it was killing you, but you thought there was fun there. Now when you go back, you can't enjoy it anymore. And you don't know why. Because you're alive. It's foreign to you. Now you're connected to God again. So you're miserable. You're not strong. You can't pray. You don't even know how to pray. You don't know anything about the Word. I can't read that. I can't understand it. Yes, you can. It's understood spiritually. And if you can't understand the King James, get one that you can. Go to Bible study. Go do something. You know, go to church. Get a hold of a friend. Maybe the guy that led you to the Lord. Sit down with him and say, hey, teach me. Please teach me. And that's what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to want to grow. But that's your choice. You have to choose that. But if you don't know there is a choice, you can't choose. And if you don't know why to choose, you're not going to choose. So somebody has to tell you, you get born again. Now, we need to learn who we are in Christ. And get them in church. Take them to church. Pick them up. Do whatever you can. Meet with them if they don't want to go. But do something to feed that spirit man that's inside so that they can taste and see that the Lord is good. So that's what he's talking about here. You have been born again. Now regulate your life that way. Make your decisions according to who you are. Make your decisions according to the Word of God. Find out who you are. Man, we can have this inheritance, and it's been given to us. And we can even know that it's there, but we don't know how to get it. Somebody can come along and say, you've got $1 million in the bank? I do not. I don't even have a bank account. Well, I made you one, and I put the million in there, so you got it. No, I don't. And lead your whole life miserable and in poverty, and all the time you got $1 million in the bank. You're not writing checks. You're not doing anything. But it's there. And that's where the cross is. Jesus died once for all. He left nobody out. And it wasn't even limited to his time he was living in. Even those pre-cross before he lived had a point where they were born again. They were all led captivity captive and all got born again at one time in heaven.
Right.
Wow, what a service.
Wow.
But that's what, I believe it's Colossians or Philippians, one of those said that.
What?
Where he says...
Captivity captive, that's in Ephesians.
Ephesians, okay, Ephesians, he led captivity captive. And that's the captivity that was led captive, were those that are in the bosom of Abraham. That's no longer there, that's another story. But anyways, before the cross, there had to be a place for the righteous to go. So God created a little tank, a little space, for those to go, for the time. Mm-hmm. When they got born again, that's where it says that Jesus went and preached to the saints.
In prison.
In prison. That's the ones he preached to. He preached there. And then he led them, he was born again, raised from the dead, and he led the captivity captive up to heaven, and all got born again in the temple in heaven.
Hallelujah.
All at one time. Think about that. Yeah. That's a blow your mind when you think about it. But the cross was past, present, and future. People that are not born again, not even born yet, still have their inheritance in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the power of that cross. People, my children, children's children, I know my children's children, but I don't know my children's children's
children.
They're not even here yet. You know, they're not even married yet. So there's a point where they have the opportunity even before they're born. They can't get born again until they live here. But once they're here, they'll have an eternity to inherit. When they get born again.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. The price was paid once for all. So he's saying here, now that you have received Jesus, now that you know him, now that you have been born again, regulate your life accordingly. Regulate your life according to who you are. Conduct your lives that way. Filter what you do through your love walk. Filter it through the word. How does what I'm doing conform with the word? Well, I don't know. We'll find out. That's what this book is for. I like Matt Gover. I'm getting off a little bit, but Matt Gover was a Hell's Angels. He was a very, very mean man. He went to Vietnam. The soldier came back. Nobody welcomed him. So he joined the Hell's Angels. You know who the Hell's Angels were.
Yeah.
And he was so bad that his own people locked him up at times. Hell's Angels themselves lock him in a barn.
He'd go crazy on drugs.
He'd just go crazy. And he himself, I was in a meeting where he was at.
Preaching.
And giving his testimony. It was a believers' convention. I think, believers. And there were thousands went down to get saved after his testimony. The aisles were lined. I got that video at home. They were just lining the aisles. After powerful testimony. But he said even his brothers would lock him up because he'd go crazy. Literally, he'd be nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd harm himself and everybody else. He said in his testimony he was responsible, literally, for the death of 9 babies.
And abortion.
Himself, you know. And he was just mean. And he got born again from a track. A track. That's all. It stuck to his hand. He couldn't let go of it. So he took it home and he thought, I can roll some weed with that. So he stuck it in his pocket. Later, he read that tract, and he got born again. It completely changed him.
Wow.
He loved everybody after that.
I have his book in the library.
It's just an awesome testimony. But you'd think the impossible, he would be impossible. He wasn't impossible. But he had to make the decision. He looked at that tract, and he said, boy, if this is true, he said, I'm in trouble. Not with the law. I'm in trouble with God. You know? And that changed him. He said he cried all night. His eyes were shut when he got up the next morning and he couldn't open his eyes. He thought he was blind. Said, well, God, that's okay. At least I know you now. But it's really a funny testimony, but it's very real. And we need to analyze our life. Where are we with God? He had a time when he received. And he wound up with Canaan Homes for Boys, which is not boys. These are motorcycle guys, you know, and things. People getting born again and all of that. And a very powerful minister. And he's in heaven now, but praise God, he made that choice. So we need to regulate our lives according to what has happened in us. And it says here to have the, verse 7, Colossians 2, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him. Well, how do I do that? You continually get built up in him by what you do in your now moment. Your now moment, your now moment. Keep that in your thoughts. I've said that a lot. But your now moment is the place where you make your decisions. It's the place you're living right now. In this now moment, I choose Jesus. In this now moment, I reaffirm that he's my Lord and Savior. In this now moment, I'm going to study the Word. In this now moment, I'm going to pray with thanksgiving. In this now moment, no matter what that guy's doing to me, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love them right now. And in the next moment, I'm going to choose that again. You know, that's how you do this. That's how you conform your life to the Lord. That's how you get built up in your now moment and by your decisions. And that's how you continually are built up. You're filtering your life through the Word of God. You're filtering your life through your love walk. You're analyzing it. Is this God's kind of love? And if not, and if you fail, and you make the wrong decisions in that now moment, you repent. That's what 1 John is. 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. And the Amplified says to continually cleanse you. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing process from one moment to another. He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, even the things that you're not thinking about. He cleanses you. He keeps you right, but you have to make the choice. You have to go to him. You have to repent of it. Repent means turn around. Repent means leave it. Let it go. It doesn't mean go back to it when you're done. It means right in this now moment, I'm no longer doing that. And in the next now moment, you make that choice again. Because the enemy is continually trying to pull you off. But every time you do that, you get stronger.
Amen.
And that strength comes from your inner man, not from your head. It comes from your inner man, and that's how you build your strength in him. So we need to be rooted. Rooted, rooted. That means I on purpose am putting my roots in God and his word. Philippians 4:13. I love the way Paul put this. He says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. See, he didn't say he had to strengthen himself. He says, I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, it's from my inner man. I am ready for anything. Can we say that? Oh no, what's going to happen? Oh no, what's COVID? I'm going to get COVID. You know, whatever. We walk through our life in fear and worry, and we should. We don't have to. Paul wasn't that way. He had problems more than we'll have. He had a lot of problems. They even stoned him to death, and he could come back to life underneath those rocks, and he started to move. That would be awesome. All kinds of things happened to Paul. But anyways, he said, I am ready for anything. I'm ready for anything. And we need to have that attitude. I am ready for anything and equal to anything, not on my own, but through him who infuses inner strength to me. Inner strength comes from the inner man because of the Holy Spirit living in me and because I'm doing something with the Word and I'm making choices. So I get stronger in the inner man. In 1 John 4:16, and you know, we need to pay attention to words. There's a lot of words in this. So I'm going to read the whole thing and then go back and explain it in a way that might be easier to understand. 1 John 4:16, being in the Amplified, there's a lot of words. And we know, understand, recognize, or conscious of, by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. God is love. And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. Now that's another long sentence. But the Amplified is taking time to amplify the important points within that scripture. So let's look at it, what they're trying to say. Now the subject of 1 John 4:16, that verse, the subject is the love that God cherishes for us. So with that in mind, that's the subject, that's what he's talking about in that particular verse. So let's look at it that way. I'm going to do this, pay attention to the words. And we know the love that God cherishes for us. We understand the love that God cherishes for us. We recognize the love that God cherishes for us. We are conscious of the love that God cherishes for us. We, by observation, we have observed the love that God cherishes for us. We have experienced the love that God cherishes for us. We believe the love that God cherishes for us. We adhere to the love that God cherishes for us. We put faith in the love that God cherishes for us. We rely on the love that God cherishes for us. See what it's saying? Yeah. It's putting all those words and then coming up at the end with the love that God cherishes for us. But every one of those words, every one of those amplifications is saying something about the love that God cherishes for us. The most cherished possession God has with man is his love for us. He lives, because he is love, he lives to love us. He can't do anything but that. That is all he's capable of doing because he is love. He's the being. And I need to have my giant intellect grab a hold of that. God is love. And because he is love, he loves. He has wrath, yes, but at what? Sin. Something that comes against the one he loves. Something that's trying to hurt the one he loves. Okay, so he has emotions, and he even has hate. He hates sin. Why? Because it's coming against the man he loves. It's separating the man he loves from him. So he hates sin, not the sinner. And that we need to realize that. I don't care what you've done, he don't hate you. He can't. Because he'd hate himself. Because we're created by him. He put his own life in there. It's why we exist. And we're the object of his love. So he cherishes his love for us. So when we take each one of those words, or those amplifications, and we tag it on love, we can on the love he cherishes for us, it brings us into a deeper understanding of what that verse is talking about. He's saying that we understand it. I don't understand it. You're in the process of understanding. You can understand it, and you do by the Spirit inside you, because God himself is there. He's bringing that understanding forth. But if you stay in your fears and worries and all those things, and you don't on purpose choose the love walk, you're not going to understand it.
Right.
Because your mind will not be enlightened. You have to make a quality choice. I'm walking in love no matter what. And as you do that and you spend time in the Word studying it, understanding comes.
Yes.
Revelation comes. But it's something that we choose. Nobody can talk you into it. Nobody can. You can listen to all the sermons in the world, but until you take a hold of it for yourself, it will not make a difference in your life. You'll just be hearing. Which is fine if you do something with what you're hearing. Okay, so that's what he's saying. We know, we understand, we recognize, we are conscious of. All of these words are important to that one phrase, the love God cherishes for us. Then it says God is love. That's why he cherishes love towards us, because he is love. And he who dwells in God, in love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. Can somebody tell me what John is relating, what he's referring to? There's scripture that John is referring to. Now listen to it again. God is love, and he who dwells or lives and continues or remains in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in
Psalm
him.
Psalm 91.
Well,
John 17.
Yeah, John 17 is what I was looking for. John 7, specifically, John 17, verse 21. It's Jesus' own prayer. See, this is the heart of God. This is why, the reason Jesus prayed this prayer is because it was the heart of God. Jesus only spoke what the Father said.
Right.
That's what he said. He said, I only say what the Father says. And he only does what he sees the Father do. So John is referring to this particular scripture. John 17 and verse 21. That they all may be one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe and be convinced that you have sent me. Not just that they believe, but that it affects them. If they believe it, if they see it and believe it, then that belief is going to affect that person.
It belongs to them.
It's going to
become, they take on ownership of that.
Yes. They come into a place where they have recognized it, they understand it, they know it. Now they can see it and they'll receive it. So they become ownership of that because now I own it, I believe it.
And I can walk in it.
I can walk in it.
That ownership.
Because it's God's own desire. It's his desire. It's what he wants. Now, I'm going to do all I can to move into that. And I'm not doing it on my own. He's moving in me to bring me to that place. That's his desire. It's his idea. And that's what John is saying. So I'm going to read both of them again and just kind of listen to them. This is so important to us if we see the heart of God. That they all may be one. John 17, 21. And he says this in one way or another throughout his prayer at different places. But this, I'm just focusing on this one verse. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. Are they one? God the Father and God the Son are one. There's no division between the two. They are absolutely, totally one. So, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That's the kind of oneness he's talking about. Yeah. That they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they, or us, also may be one in us. Because he wants us to be the same way he is. The same kind of love, the same kind of oneness, together with each other and with him. That's what he wants. So that the world may believe and be convinced that you sent me. Now let's read the one I was reading, 1 John 4:16 again, with that in mind. And we know, understand, recognize, and are conscious of by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. We just see that in Jesus' prayer. We see that love. God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him, that they may be one. Same thing. Verse 17, in this union and communion with him, the one we just got done talking about, the fact that we are one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and his born-again children are one. As far as God is concerned, we're one. We're one. Okay, so in this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. So this is the answer to Jesus' prayer.
Amen.
God's answering that prayer. And he's still answering it, as we will yield to it. Union and communion. Why did he put it that way? You know, you can have a union with someone and not be communion with them.
It's a partnership, a union, but then He gives us the free will to use prayer as a
means of
communication, because he wants to partner with us.
Right.
And he wants us to share our life with him, not just be little robots or puppets.
Exactly.
He wants to be a father and a child, where
exactly
we are
right.
seeking him. And he is able to do what only he can do through us and in us, as long as we are yielding to his ways and learning his ways. And,
exactly.
And then learning his heart and taking on his reflection.
Exactly.
You know, putting on love.
That's exactly.
And the only way we can put on love is to seek him. For his love to put that on.
And it comes from the inner man.
And it comes, yes. It's
because
an inner,
he lives there.
It's an inner working.
When you think about it, and the more you meditate on it, it's God's such a strong desire for us to walk just like he walked. And we can't say it's not possible, because he is here.
Right.
And he's the one that's bringing it forth. I can be my union with him. I got born again, so now I'm back in union with him. But it doesn't mean I'm communing with him. Communion means an interaction, like Sean was talking about. It means that we are sharing. He is pouring out on me and through me, and I'm pouring my love back on him. Mm-hmm. It's a cycle.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
It's a flow.
It's a flow.
Flowing of
yes.
It keeps the flow unclogged.
The stronger his love is for me, which I can't get to the end of that, the more I recognize it, the more I accept it and do something with that love, then it flows back to him from my heart to his, and it puts me in a place where he can pour more out through me.
To receive and to give.
It just keeps widening that channel all the time, and there's no end to the depth that can get, because I am authorizing him to do so. That's the greater things. Jesus said, they'll do greater works than I do. You will do greater works than these. You know, he tells us that. Because of the cross. It's not that Jesus wasn't capable of doing them as Jesus, but not the man. He was still here. And there were certain things that were not opened up until after the cross. He had to die. And once he died, he did not have the same authority as a man here. Man has a certain amount of authority in the earth that God gave him through Adam. That's still our business. It's our job to occupy. It's our job to take back what was stolen. That's our job. That's what we're here for. It's our job to love and to walk in love. It's our job to have faith and to trust and to pray. That's our job. It's our job to reconcile. That's why we've been given that ministry. It's his feet walking through us. You know, but if we don't do that, then it can't flow back to him. The only way we can do it is to flow in love and allow love to flow through us. And then that love flows to humanity, back to God, and then back to us again. It's a constant flow, and that's what God wants. A never-ending, unrestricted flow. And that's what Jesus was praying for in John 17. So let's look at Ephesians 3:16. I'm about out of time here. But now, this is a prayer, and it's, the whole thing is actually longer than this. But I'm going to point out, for the sake of time, just point out the inner man here. Now, Paul prayed this, and this is Holy Spirit granted prayer. So he's actually praying the heart of the Father just the same way Jesus was. Ephesians 3:16, may he, or God, grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man. See where it comes from? Okay, what's a grant?
A gift.
A grant is a gift. It cannot be earned.
Can't be paid back.
You can only position yourself for it, but you can never earn it. And it doesn't have to be paid back. It's a grant. So, and it's granted from someone that has the ability to do what he's granting. So, let's read that again. May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. What's his glory? Love. That's the fullness of who he is. So that's where the glory resides. out of the rich treasury of his glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. So how are we going to get strengthened by our inner man? It's from the Spirit that lives in us. It flows from the inner man. There's a lot of scriptures that I have here and more that I don't have that talks about the inner man. Verse 17, may Christ through your faith actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts or your spirit. May you be rooted deep in love and founded surely on love. And next verse says that. So it continues, but we don't have time for that. The point I'm making here with these two verses is the fact that God grants it, that it's from the rich treasure of his glory, that he's the one that gives it, that it comes from the inner man, and that's where I'm strengthened at. It's from the inside. I'm strengthened by the Spirit that dwells within me. But notice that I have to position myself for it. That's what a grant does. They can grant me something, but I never receive it. I never get to the place. College grant, you have to do certain things and meet qualifications to get that grant. Well, the neat thing about God is he qualifies us. We don't have to. I just got to position myself. I got to receive him as my Lord and Savior, so the Holy Spirit comes in. That's the first qualification. The next one is, I've got to set my love upon him. I've got to do something with that. I got to get in the Word. I've got to pray. I've got to ask for it and believe it. And in there you notice it's by my faith. My trust. I adhere to it. I desire it. Do you desire that depth of love with God? It's going to cost me too much. I can't give up the way I live. Yeah, you can. You haven't tasted and seen yet. Once you taste and see, you know, the more I set my love upon the Father, the stronger the love in me gets.
Amen.
The more I set my love upon her, my wife, the stronger that love for her gets. And that's what I want. The Father wants to love me. I just got to open the door. I'm the only limit he has. And it doesn't take a lot of education. All it takes is a heart. Just put your heart towards God and let him give you the knowledge. And he will. So that's awesome. I got a few more minutes here. Ephesians 4:16. And again, if you read these, take time to read all the scriptures on both sides. I'm just pointing out certain ones here. Ephesians 4:16. For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. When the whole part, with power adapted to its needs, is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love. Notice it builds itself up in love.
Amen.
We build ourselves up as we conform to love, as we receive it, as we allow it to function, as we walk in it, it builds in us. But notice what it says, because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together by the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied. It's not something that I have to make happen. It's something he supplies.
Amen.
He supplies it if I will do it. God never asks us to do anything he doesn't supply the ability to do it, the knowledge to do it, and if I ask him, the desire to do it.
Amen.
He is after the church being one. We're supposed to be different. There's some denominations that are there because God wants them there. There is a body. They're responsible for different things. Catholics are responsible for communion. That's one of their main things. And there's others like the Baptists responsible for salvation.
Amen.
The knowledge of that. There's different bodies that are responsible for certain things. When they join their hearts, they become one. And then knowledge flows from one to the other. We gain knowledge from one another. We shouldn't ever be separated. We should never have separation in our hearts.
Right.
We should do battle with that. We are one. God made us one.
Amen.
He's not dividing at all. We divide. He doesn't. Division is never from God.
Right.
Division only comes from Satan because he knows. Jesus said it is a law. A house divided against itself will fall. That's why strife is so bad in the family. It's going to fall. Where there's strife, there's confusion in every evil work. But when you walk in love, there's no strife. It takes two to fight. If one will not fight, the other one can't. He may get mad, they may do things, but it's limited until I participate. When I participate, it opens the door. Now I'm in agreement with that, but I'm not in agreement with God. See, so I got to watch that. That's why it's so bad. We are never to be disunited. We are always to think the best of every person and take no account of a suffered wrong. That's our job. And if we do, then we need to repent of that and fix it because we're love creatures.
Amen.
Okay, I guess I'm going to have to quit here, I suppose. I don't want to. I'm busy.
I
don't
want to leave.
I'm busy.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is
good. Well, Father, we thank you so much for this night in your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to hear your voice and to see your heart. Lord, we want to know your heart. And we thank you, Lord, that you have qualified us to walk in this. You have made the way. You have paid the price. And all we have to do, Father, is just yield our hearts and yield to you. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the services that lie ahead, the main service. And we receive this time with grateful hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.